The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Bird Day, Tony. Name your favorite bird.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Sue? That's a good one.
I got others. I got Larry. I got Eddie. I got Paul, the Admiral, the Dirty, Mark Fidrich, Rory Sparrow, Iron Eagle, A.J. Hawk, Sid Finch, Chris Herron, Big, Big Bird. I got Bird Averett. I got a lot of birds. Charlie Bird Parker.
Who's right? Eddie Bird? Who is that?
Ed Bird? I don't know what was written. I don't know who Eddie is. I have no idea. What can I tell you? If you give me the prompt, then we're good. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Derrick Henry returns. Kyrie Irving is about to, and could Jim Harbaugh be headed back to the NFL? But we begin today with the breaking news that Novak Djokovic's visa into Australia has been rejected, and he's been asked to leave the country. Djokovic was ruled to have failed to provide, quote, appropriate standards of proof, unquote, for his exemption to enter the country. That was a medical exemption. There had been public outcry about the Australian Open allowing him to compete all the way up to the prime minister. Djokovic is reportedly appealing this latest decision. Wilbon, what do you make of this?
Tony, maybe I shouldn't laugh, but I'm laughing because I find this sort of funny because he tried to get with a fast one and somebody just smacked him across the face and said, get out of here. Literally, get out of here. Get out of the country. Remember I used to say, get out of the country? And you would say, don't tell people that. They just told Joker, get out of the country.
Right.
I must admit, this story makes me feel good. And that means you feel better because you have been suspicious of Djokovic much longer and more severely than
yes.
I have been. And
that's right.
I was
that's
offended
right.
by this yesterday. And so when this story began to be literally a developing story this morning, I just thought this is priceless. He wanted to get away with the fast one. He thought he could. He found some adoring, you know, tennis panel of people within Australia, a country that has been really aggressive, somewhere between progressive and aggressive in its treatment of the virus and how people deal
That's
with
right.
the virus and how its national institutions
right.
deal with the virus. And he didn't get away with it, and now he's being told to get out. I find this applause, golf clap, oh, tennis
so,
clap.
This story stinks to high heaven, which I said yesterday. And the antagonist in it is Novak Djokovic, who
yep.
has never helped himself in this regard. He has been laughing at the Australian people for letting him in. He has been a public anti-vaxxer. He has not ever disclosed what the nature of his medical exemption is. Rod Laver, of all people, Rod Laver said, you've got to tell people what this is about or this thing could get ugly. Rod Laver, the most important tennis player in the history of tennis.
Yes.
And now we're waiting for Nicole Kidman to weigh in and for Greg Norman to weigh in. Novak Djokovic is a haughty fellow. He is a dismissive fellow. And as you say, he thought he was going to get away with this and they'd have to let him in because he would set the record there. I didn't like this from any angle that this thing came from. And to amplify your point, Australia had the most severe and longest lockdown of any country. And the Australians looked at this and they said, we're not letting this guy waltz in
Are
here to play
us?
Tennis.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, we're in quarantine. And I read that a doubles player had said, this smacks of just catering to a famous guy, because if I asked for this exemption, I would not get one. And you're right. I haven't liked him for a long time. And I just think it's because, honestly, Mike, I don't think there's a sincere bone in his body. I think everything he says is staged to make himself look good. And, Mike, I don't think he believes in the rule of law for anybody. Well, certainly not for him.
No,
because he's a famous tennis player. He can do what he wants.
He can do what he wants. He's not just dismissive, Tony, but like, I don't give a damn. I don't consider you. And so, and on top of that, It's just like he was laughing at the people that were granting the exception. And who's laughing now? I'm laughing now. I'll be straight out of it. I don't care who objects. I'm laughing at this story.
This is going to hurt him. His legacy is, this is going to be remembered for a long time.
Don't tell him, though. He's dismissing that, too. Let's move to the wild and improbable scenario that could present itself to the Chargers and Raiders Sunday night. If the Steelers beat the Ravens and the Jaguars upset the Colts, right, the Chargers and Raiders would both get into the playoffs if they played or chose to play to a tie. Tony, does the NFL need to do anything to address this potential but preposterous scenario ahead of time?
The short answer is no, because the NFL has a code for all the tiebreakers, and everybody understands the eventualities. Everybody looks at all of these things all the time. And the other reason they don't have to do anything is because it's very unlikely to happen. Now, Pittsburgh may beat Baltimore. I don't understand why Pittsburgh's getting 5.5 coming out of a win. They may beat Baltimore, but I don't believe that Jacksonville is going to beat Indianapolis. And I know it's true that in the last, I think, 33 games that Jacksonville has played, they're 2-2 against Indianapolis and 2-27 against anybody else. So I'm calling out anybody out there wants to bet me even on this game, wants to take Jacksonville. I don't think people are going to do that. But let's get to the doomsday scenario. Because if it worked out that both of those teams lost and these teams could get in with a tie, there would be a phone call from Roger Goodell to both coaches. And they'd say, look, play it honestly. Play it honestly. And I think that's what would happen. But, Mike, but if it got to the fourth quarter and it was 24-24, and they went into overtime, then they should lay down. Here's what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't do a John Harbaugh and go for two like crazy Brandon Staley would do. You shouldn't do that. You should try to get into the playoffs.
Okay, I knew you would somehow turn this into a DraftKings segment, which you just did. Maybe we should call Uncle Brent in Vegas and see how you did just then. Tony, this, you know, I take shots at the marketing people, this group of people, that group of people. Can I just take a shot at young journalists today? Because I've been seeing these stories everywhere, and they propose what could happen, suppose what would happen. It's like, shut up. Really, this is what you've got to do with your time? Not only do you have to have these two or three circumstances take place earlier, then you have to have these people want to. These people hate each other, the Chargers and the Raiders. They've hated each other for 60 years. You know, when you got in this business, you covered some AFL in your life, you know how much they hate each other. They're not going to cooperate. This is just dumb. And the talk of it is dumb, and we have now wasted time. Let's move on quickly, because this is too stupid for the NFL to act on, and it's too stupid for people in our industry to give much time to. Thank God for a bill.
Yes, okay. I will move off.
You know I'm right on this. You know I am.
I would just say this, that if Pittsburgh and if Indianapolis lost, you have to shut up because you're not in the playoffs. You had it on your racket. You didn't make it happen.
Yeah,
so leave me alone.
Absolutely.
Leave me alone. We move now to a report from The Athletic that you're going to be interested in, that Jim Harbaugh might be interested in leaving Michigan and getting back to the NFL. Harbaugh was 44-19-1 with the 49ers, and he got to the Super Bowl once. Wilbon, there are going to be a bunch of NFL vacancies starting this week, including possibly, if not likely, your beloved Bears. Could you see Harbaugh back in the NFL this coming season?
Yes, I'd bet on it. I'm not going DraftKings. I'm not going like you. But, yeah, Tony.
Plus 5.5.
Jim Harbaugh's 58 years old. And if he's going to go back, Tone, 58, it's now. I mean, you got coaches, head coaches now in their early to mid-30s. Jim Harbaugh, 58. Okay. You know how long I was clamoring for Jim Harbaugh to beat Matt Nagy into the corner office in Lake Forest and be the coach of the Bears 4 or 5 years ago. You know I was doing that then. Tony, we got two conditions, his own age and situation, and he's been a successful NFL coach, took a team to a Super Bowl, and developed a young quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, with some of the same skills, some similar skills to Mr. Fields. So all that lines up. Jim Harbaugh, people say, well, he's at his alma mater in Michigan. His alma mater is also the Chicago Bears, where he played longer than he played at Michigan. So, and they love him. Virginia McCaskey, the McCaskey family, they love Jim Harbaugh. There's no secret. I know the Raiders are out there as a suitor, too, and that might be viable as well because it's California. Yep. but he was drafted by and played for the Bears. They threw Jim McMahon, the only guy that won a Super Bowl, they threw Jim McMahon out of town to let Jim Harbaugh play the position. So Jim Harbaugh has history in that city. There's love for him there. Come on down, Jim. It's time. You know it because you can't win at college, but you can win a Super Bowl.
One small correction. The Raiders are in Vegas now. They're not in California. It's close. It's
right.
The next state,
same
but it's
thing.
Not California.
Those Western
people.
So
let me say this. Let us look at the entirety of Jim Harbaugh's career at Michigan. Until he beat Ohio State, everybody, and I mean everybody, was clamoring to fire him, especially after losing to Michigan State. They all said he can't win the big game. He's never won the big game. Okay, so then I would not blame him if he said to Michigan, it's been nice, but I'm going to go now. And if they said why, he could say, look, I beat Ohio State. You know, leave me alone. I did what you wanted me to do. He has done this before. He went from Stanford to the 49ers. I just want to read a series of numbers here, Mike, and I know you don't like numbers, but I'm going to read them anyway. 44-19-1 in the pros, 119-51 in college, for a total of 163-70-1. You think somebody would be interested in that? A guy who wins that many games? Yes. The answer is yes. So if he wants the NFL, he can have the NFL.
It's time, too.
Chicago makes sense. It does.
It's time. Right
now. There you go. Let's take a break. Coming up, what is the word for Russell Westbrook not turning the ball over at all last night?
And do the Baylor Bears, not the Chicago, but the Baylor Bears, deserve a lot more love than they've been getting? It's time for
Harbaugh. You got Bears on your mind, but it's Bird Day. It's Bird Day.
No, I don't know.
I'm just looking at all my notes on Djokovic.
We don't have
like that
birds.
Line. We haven't heard from Nicole Kidman
they
yet.
They freeze in Chicago. We don't like birds.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to choose our words carefully. Let's get the first one from the producer over the loudspeaker.
It's blank that Russell Westbrook didn't turn the ball over last night.
It's unbelievable because it's the first time in 408 games that he hasn't turned the ball over. So that's not with the Lakers only. That's not with the Wizards. That's not with the Rockets. You have to go all the way back to Oklahoma City, Mike. I believe in 2016. And probably the reason that he didn't have a turnover that night was because he was distracted by his hatred for Kevin Durant, who left and left him there alone in Oklahoma City. Look, Russell Westbrook has a lot of turnovers. He averages 4 a game. He had 9 the last game. So even with 0, he outdid in 2 games his average. He has led the league in triple-doubles 7 times, and he's led the league in turnovers 5 times. So when people say, oh, he'd be great without the turnovers, no, he is great. No, this is who he is as a player. This is Russell Westbrook. And by the way, the Lakers won last night. And I believe, again, LeBron set some sort of record for being the oldest person to ever do something, whatever that something was.
The oldest person to ever scream like a madman at the Sacramento bench. Please. What is he doing? Taking Tom Brady pills? I mean, you're the GOAT already. What are you doing screaming at Sacramento? Maybe there's a reason. Maybe they started it now in case I'll apologize to LeBron. My word is apocalyptic. Tony, This is what he does. He turns it over. He said, I thought candidly and refreshingly Westbrook did the other night after a game. Very calm. He said, look, yeah. I turn it over. I miss shots. This is what,
it's what he
I
does. Do.
And you know what? He's going to the Hall of Fame. The Lakers knew what they were getting. You know Russell Westbrook turns it over if you've been watching basketball the last 12 years. But he's great through it. He's great through it. And so it's apocalyptic, though, that he had no. And I saw he had none. That was a reason to start texting people.
It's blank that Baylor has won 20 straight games.
It's off my radar. Honestly, I haven't paid any attention, Mike, to college basketball so far. Like 200 million others, I've paid attention to football. I do know that Baylor is undefeated this year. I think they're 14-0. I know they're number one and deservedly so. And I know they won their last six last year because they won them in the NCAA tournament because they won the entire thing. Look, they didn't start out number one this year because they lost four starters, two to the NBA. So Gonzaga was one, and then I think Duke was one, and then Purdue was one for a minute and a half.
Yep.
And now Baylor's one. This guy, Scott Drew, must know what he's doing. Baylor's a football school, and nobody gives them credit for basketball. They're in a football conference. Big 12 may stink, but it's football conference. And yet, Mike, they got four teams ranked in the top 15. They got Baylor and Kansas and Iowa State and Texas. So they know what they're doing.
Yeah, Tone, I said there'd probably be eight number ones. Baylor's going to make me a liar on that because they're just going to hog the position at the top, it seems. My word, the reason why nobody's paid attention is because it's football obscured. Football goes so long now and is so dominant that we now have a Super Bowl in the middle of February. I think February 13. By the time we get to that, Tony, and we get through everybody the next 6 weeks, you know, trying to figure out what Aaron Rodgers and his big toe are going to do, we'll be into the regional final and people will look up and we'll find out who's number one in the tournament's going to start. So the whole damn college football season, college basketball season is football obscured. No, I mean, I started telling you years ago, Tony, it's a 6 week season. No, it's a 6 day season now. Totally.
That's what it is now. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, a major development for Derrick Henry and the Titans.
And Kyrie gets set to take the court for the first time all season. Kyrie.
But I'm going to bet it's not going to be in New York City. I'm going to bet it's somewhere other than New York City.
And it ain't going to be in Toronto.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 68th birthday, Alex English. English remains the greatest scorer in the history of the Denver Nuggets, who retired his number two jersey. In 11 seasons in Denver, English averaged 26 points a game, and in 1983, he led the NBA in scoring with 28.4 points a game. He was an eight-time All-Star. He's in the Hall of Fame, which isn't bad for a second-round pick out of South Carolina. But as great as English was, he wasn't great enough to be named to the NBA's 75th anniversary team. And English posted this on Twitter about his feelings, quote, "Can't say I'm not disappointed for not being included on the 75th anniversary team after seeing the list. I feel the same after the first list of 50. I've always known that my understated style wasn't conducive to being associated with such a flamboyant sport," unquote. Wilbon, you voted for that team. You expressed regret at not voting for English. I'll give you a mulligan right here. But who are you taking off so English gets on?
Yeah, Tony, I must say he's so much more accomplished as an NBA player than, say, Pete Maravich. Just to pick a guy who's on that team. Tony, Alex English is good enough. He's been brought nothing but honor to the league and a great, 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 great player. He should be. He is one of the top 75 players. I apologize, all right, to not have him on my ballot. It's just dumb. And I apologize, and I hope others apologize.
Did you just yank him? Did you yank Maravich?
I didn't have him on, and I didn't yank anybody. I should have yanked somebody because Alex English belongs on that list.
I just gave you a chance to yank somebody. Not so happy anniversary, Seattle Supersonics. On this day 36 years ago, the Sonics became the first NBA team ever to have a game postponed on account of rain. Because after all, they play indoors in the NBA, don't they? The Seattle Coliseum roof leaked during a particularly intense storm, allowing rainwater to drop onto the court. They got in 13 minutes of game action against the Phoenix Suns before the game was postponed until the following night, as players from both teams repeatedly slipped and slid all over the hardwood. You don't ever expect PPD rain in an NBA box score, but if it's going to happen in any city, Seattle would be the one. 22 years later, in what was probably an unrelated incident, the Sonics moved to Oklahoma City. But in hindsight, you wonder if calling themselves the Thunder might be a backhanded shot at all the rain in Seattle.
Tone, it's a stain on the league to not be in Seattle. Stain on the NBA. It's unforgivable. You don't leave Seattle. I mean, you figure it out with the arena. It's a great city, one of the great cities in the world. It is certainly a great basketball city. I loved going there for all kinds of things. And I bet you did, too, when you were back in the, when Seattle was really good with those teams with Dennis Johnson and Jack Sigma.
Yes.
Didn't you love going there for when games?
Yes, when it didn't rain, I loved it, yes.
Stop.
Happy trails to the Blackhawks in overtime. Cale Makar of the Colorado Avalanche pulled a ballet-like pirouette to get free from Chicago center Kirby Dock.
Ooh.
And took the puck to the net where he backhanded it past Marc-Andre Fleury with 2:38 left in overtime last night to give Colorado a 4-3 win. What makes it special is that Makar is a defenseman. In fact, Makar is the second leading goal scorer on Colorado and the top goal scoring defenseman in the NHL. 14 goals in 25 games. Colorado now 8-1-1 in their last 10 and up to third place in the Central Division. Meanwhile, your Blackhawks have lost 5 in a row and have the second worst goal differential in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and they seem like they've lost, you know, more overtime games than any team in the NHL. Just to my feel about looking at final scores and a little bit of games. That would make, that move would make another defenseman, Bobby Orr, Robert Orr, proud, would it not?
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful move. You get him on one side and you have an open lane to the net. It's really good. One clarification, Eddie Bird is Larry Bird's brother, and I'm so happy to know that, and I'm sure you are too, Wilbon. Let's go to the big finish.
Let's
Your boy Ja Morant and the Grizzlies beat the Cavs for their sixth straight win. I'll bet you're impressed.
Ja Morant has surpassed Jason Tatum and Luka Doncic. Yes, Doncic, as the best player in the NBA under 25. Ja Morant, boys and girls, he's a must-watch. Turn the TV on now. The Titans activated Derrick Henry, and he practiced today, Tony. That's a big deal, isn't it?
It's a big deal that he practiced. The important thing is, can he play? Do you want to play him to try and clinch the number one, or do you want to rest him so you can just play him in the playoffs? It's something to talk about.
Yeah,
the Mavs are going to retire Dirk's number 41 tonight. That's totally deserved, is it not?
Yes, like 21 great seasons with one team, won a championship. Best player in club history. Hang it from the rafters. Connor McDavid tested positive for COVID. Tony, your thoughts?
Well, you reach out in sympathy to anybody who gets COVID. He happens to be the league-leading scorer in the NHL at the moment. Last one, plenty of time. Kyrie Irving and the Nets at the Pacers tonight. What do you expect?
I expect oohs and ahs, and I expect the Nets to get a jolt from this. They've lost 3 in a row. They need Kyrie now.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Marcus Roddy, shout out.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knucklehead. You can see Jalen, Richard, Jefferson, Malika, and me on NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. Now, here's SportsCenter.
Are you in L.A., by the way? Is that
yes,
where you
I
are?
Yes, I am. You're in L.A.?